Now, turning to Matthew chapter 5, I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, but today our attention is on verse 4, the second beatitude. Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." This ends the reading of God's Word. And may He bless it, that we would be more than merely hearers, but we would know how we are to live on the basis of His Word. You know, it's no secret, and we see it all the time, that our culture embraces entertainment. It pursues pleasure at all costs. And as we saw last week, it's basically because every heart desires to be happy. It's just unfortunate that many people pursue happiness in the wrong direction. Most people go to great lengths to avoid sorrow and pain as they pursue this unreachable goal of happiness. You know, even when we get the news on TV and we watch the local news, it seems like the whole broadcast can be just horribly miserable. But almost always they'll end with something that'll make you smile. It seems like the world would have us to believe, blessed are those who laugh their way through life. But Jesus says, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the mourners. Happy are the sad. I mean, surely we're missing something, right? I mean, after all, we spend our lives in the pursuit of happiness. Why would Jesus tell us that we are to find happiness, that if we are really going to enjoy this rich and full and abundant life that He gives, then we have to mourn? Happy are the sad? I mean, on the surface, and just taking this, pulling it out of this passage, it just doesn't seem to make any sense at all. Are we to go around with a sad look on our face all the time? I mean, is there anything wrong with enjoying life? We know the Bible teaches that we are to be joyful. We know that if we follow God as we ought, if we're walking in the Spirit, then our lives will be characterized by great joy. In fact, the Apostle Paul, we saw last week, we referenced this last time, that Paul, when he was imprisoned in Rome, expecting possibly his execution, not knowing what was going to be his outcome, he writes letters, one of them being Philippians. And all throughout this book, it's about joy. Rejoice always. In all circumstances, give thanks. And even if you look down at the list of Beatitudes, you see that Jesus also taught in verse 12 that we are to rejoice when being persecuted. I mean, how can we be blessed and have hearts that are filled with gladness, giving thanks in all circumstances, and yet Jesus says that we're blessed if we mourn? Is that a contradiction? Well, I think it makes more sense when we understand what Jesus means about mourning. Let's begin by considering the reasons for mourning. And then secondly, we'll look at the answers to mourning. But first, let's look at the reasons for mourning. People mourn for a variety of reasons. And not every reason guarantees the blessing of Christ. You know, there are various words that could be used that translate as mourn. But Jesus chose to use the most powerful one, the strongest one available. It means to grieve, to wail, as in when a loved one dies. It is a deep sorrow that causes the depths of your soul to ache and the heart to be broken. He's not talking about complaining about simple things in life, but about those who are absolutely devastated by grief. Many of us have been there. Many of us have been in circumstances where we have wept uncontrollably. Blessed are those who mourn. Of course, Jesus doesn't mean that every mourner is blessed. Tears are not good in and of themselves. There are tears that seem to wash the eyes and spread beauty as they flow down the cheeks. They seem to water the gardens of our hearts and cause our souls to bloom. But then there are other tears that sting the eyes, that cause anguish. There are mourners who receive no comfort. And there are mourners who are blessed. So let's look at the two types of mourning. Mourning according to the flesh first. I meet people from time to time that seem to enjoy being eternal pessimists. It seems like they just love despair like bees love honey. They're never happy. And they act as though they have the perfect right to be miserable and everybody else should be as miserable as they are. Their mourning will not bring comfort. There are also those that mourn because of some selfish loss or an unrealized ambition when in reality they never would have received that expectation to begin with. But they mourn because they've lost something that they've wanted. Their joy and happiness is wrapped up in the wrong things of this life. And when the fiery trial comes, it reveals that it was nothing better than tissue paper. And there's no heavenly comfort for the self-centered man. Even those who have lost loved ones are not guaranteed to receive heavenly comfort. Such loss certainly can change a person and can even change the way of living. But even this kind of loss does not always bring heavenly blessing. I've met people who have grieved deeply, who have wailed at the loss of their mom or dad or their child, and yet they curse God. There's no comfort in that. And there are even those who mourn because they feel remorse over their actions that have caused others pain. But they're like the little child who gets caught by his parents and they mourn because they got caught. The child doesn't hate evil, he hates the effects. Our prisons are full of people who mourn, but they mourn because they got caught. Jesus taught that hell will be full of mourners, that there will be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, but it will not bring heavenly comfort. Mourning, according to the flesh, never brings heavenly comfort. So what kind of mourning does Jesus bless? Well, it's mourning according to the Spirit. Now, in a broad sense, that means that everyone who mourns that causes them to run to Jesus, brings blessing. Whatever your sorrow, whatever your burden, whatever your heartache, if it turns your blundering steps toward Jesus, then you are sure to find comfort and blessing. Some of us have seen that the darkest days turn into the richest blessings of His grace and His mercy. The very thing that we thought was going to destroy us and ruin all of our plans actually works out to renovate our soul and increase our joy. However, the mourning that Jesus has in mind is more specific than the general mourning over painful experiences in this life. Jesus is talking about mourning over sin. And again, we have to remember, and it's easy as we break these out each week, take a new one. It's easy to forget what came before. And they're connected all the way through. We need to remember, especially this first beatitude from last week. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Spiritual bankruptcy should always lead to spiritual brokenness. Recognizing that we are spiritually dead without Christ, that we are bankrupt spiritually, poor in spirit, is the way to the kingdom of heaven. And it should cause us to mourn. Blessed is the man who is conscious that he is not what he should be. Blessed is the one who realizes that he can do nothing about his failure, but he grieves and he mourns and turns his face toward Christ, who is happy to supply the grace and mercy that he needs. Many years ago, I'll say how many years ago, many years ago, there was a man sitting on my couch in my office weeping uncontrollably because of his sin. Through his selfish ambitions, through his negligence, he destroyed his marriage. He knew it was completely his fault. In his overwhelming grief, he said, "I am not the man I thought I would grow up to be." He acknowledged his own sin, but he was seeking Christ. He was seeking forgiveness. He destroyed his marriage, but he grieved over his sin. Today, he's following Christ. Today, he's blessed by his Savior. The knowledge of our spiritual bankruptcy is worthless unless it leads us to mourn and seek after Christ. Think of the prodigal son. Most of you, probably maybe all of you, know the parable that Jesus told about the father, the wealthy father who had two sons. One stayed home, the other wanted his inheritance and pursued a reckless life, wasting everything that he had been given. And after he lost everything, how sad it would have been for him to recognize his folly but have no grief. To be aware of his hunger but to be content with the pig slop. The tragedy of his situation must lead to a tortured heart that realizes the only solution is in his Father. He must come to the point of hating what he has done and resolving to return to his home. So often, our confessions of sin are as cold and formal as that oldest son. "I've always done this for you, Dad. I've always been here. I've always been faithful." The prodigal acknowledged that he had no merit of his own. He acknowledged to his father that he deserved what he received. He pled with his father to show mercy, and he was blessed abundantly. He was restored. After he acknowledged his sin against his father, we must mourn for our sin if we are to be blessed by our Savior. However, there's another type of mourning that is blessed by the Father. There's also comfort for those who mourn over the sins of others too. Yes, we mourn over our own sin, but we also ought to mourn over the sin of others. Jesus was this type of mourner. He took our infirmities and he bore our sorrows. He wept at Lazarus' tomb, not because Lazarus died. That's not why he cried. He wept because of the hopelessness of the Jews that didn't understand who he was, who rejected who he was. He knew what he was about to do for Lazarus. He knew that he was going to call Lazarus out of the tomb. That's why he waited until he was dead for 4 days. He knew what he was going to do. He wept because of the hopelessness and a sin in others. Blessed is the one who shares the pain and anguish of a world gone wrong. Blessed is the man who bears the heavy burden of his friend. Now, this has been one of the main reasons that our food pantry exists. We want to help relieve the burdens that crush the hearts of those in our community. And don't mistake me. I'm not saying that everyone that comes to our food pantry comes because of their own sinful choices. I'm not saying that at all. But there are some. There are some who are burdened by their sin, that are under the weight of their sin and they're crushed. And this simple act of mercy could very well be the means that God will use to draw him to himself. Some are already grieving and they simply need to be encouraged to come to Jesus. Bless those who mourn over the sinful condition and the sinful condition of others. Blessed are those who recognize their own spiritual poverty that their sin has caused. Blessed. Blessed. Filled their hearts with gladness because there's an answer to our misery. There's an answer to our sinful condition. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Jesus came to help those who recognize their own spiritual bankruptcy, and those that recognize and embrace it are blessed beyond measure. He said, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They belong to me. If we are assured by Jesus that we are in His kingdom, if we are assured that we are His children, then we can also be assured that our mourning will be blessed. He promises us that godly mourning leads to godly comfort. There are probably many answers to our mourning, but there's two obvious ones from this passage. One is that we will be comforted. When a person recognizes the seriousness of their sin and they mourn over it, the outcome of such mourning is reconciliation with God. It ends in pardon and a peace that passes all understanding. We receive the comfort of God through mourning over our sin because Christ has borne the penalty. But we must be careful to remember that it's not merely the consequences that we mourn over. Consider the examples of two men in the New Testament that faced consequences of their sin. Peter, first of all, and Judas, secondly. Both men were confronted with their sinful decisions, with their betrayals of Christ. But when Peter recognized the wound that he inflicted upon his master whom he loved, he was crushed. And his weeping led him back to the cross. It gave Jesus great joy to welcome Peter back on that beach and to restore his joy as they shared breakfast together. Judas also mourned, but there was no grief over the pain that he caused his master. His mourning did not cause him to run to Jesus. It led him to a hangman's noose. Sin and God's comfort are totally incompatible. Where one exists, the other cannot. Until sin is forgiven and removed, genuine happiness, truly being blessed by God, cannot be attained. Mourning over sin, recognizing our spiritual bankruptcy, that brings forgiveness of sin. And the forgiveness of sin brings freedom and comfort that cannot be experienced in any other way. What all boils down to is you and I waking up and realizing that we are who we truly are and just how wrong things have really become. We're a long way from paradise. We're a long way from Eden. And we're feeling the pains of it. We're a long way from what God wants us to be. And it's high time that we began to take it all seriously. That we recognize the power and the disastrous effects of sin. The problem, though, is that we like our sin. We don't want to admit that we are wrong. It seems like we get along in the world just fine the way we are. We may admit that we don't always do what we ought to do, but at least we're in church. We may miss an occasional service to do what we want, but we're there most of the time. We don't pray as often as we should, but we know how. So many examples of what we call there are sins of commission, sins that we commit that we know that we are committing. There are sins of omission, the very things we know we ought to be doing that we don't do. There's so many examples. We know we fail. we're not as bad as others. And we kind of like what we have become. How do we become more sensitive to the sin and unbelief in our lives and in the lives of those around us? How do we move from happily getting along in the world just like we are to seeing it in the way that Jesus does and grieving over it? And even mourning over our own sin? The answer is quite simple. Jesus says, you will be comforted. There is hope for you. We simply must trust God on this point. He says that if we recognize our sin and we weep over it, He will comfort you. There comes a point where you simply must trust God and what He says. It may not seem possible or even likely, but God says, you recognize your sinful bankruptcy. You mourn over it. You're mine. You're in my kingdom now. I will comfort you. And what's the result when you receive God's comfort? Well, again, remember how each of these Beatitudes begin. Blessed is the man, or happy is man. Those that are, whose hearts are filled with gladness. A person with a heart that's filled with gladness recognizes the true nature of sin. He sees it. He has no spiritual life within him. And he's happy because he weeps over it. We ought to mourn over our struggle with sin and rejoice in being conformed to the likeness of his Son. Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, the things I want to do I don't do, and I do the things that I don't want to do." And yet right after that he says, who's going to rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God who gives me the victory in Christ Jesus. Therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. In one breath he condemns himself for what he's doing that he should never do and not doing what he knows he should do. And in the next breath he rejoices that there's no condemnation because he's in Christ. O wretched man that I am should be the shout of every one of us. There's nothing good in us, not one thing. We are rotten to the core. All we can do is cast ourselves at the mercy of God. In sorrow and grief, cry out, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he will pardon. And he will cleanse. He will receive you into his kingdom and grant you comfort. When you acknowledge your sinful condition, your spiritual bankruptcy, when you genuinely mourn over your hopeless state, he promises to comfort you, and the result will be filling your heart with gladness, so that in whatever circumstance you face, you will give thanks. Do you want to be blessed? Then get ready to weep. You want to experience the comfort that only Christ can give? Then it comes through mourning. You know, there may be some, one or two here today or listening online, that are grieving because of some past guilt, some sin in the past that has been a heavy, heavy bait burden or weight upon your shoulders. The feelings of guilt and shame seem to be absolutely overwhelming. Listen to the promises of God. Listen to what He promises in His Word. When you confess your sin, when you acknowledge your shame, when you admit your hopelessness, your spiritual bankruptcy, then you're mine. You belong to me. Your mourning will be changed to comfort. You will receive gladness. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. But in order to do so, James says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. What a strange command. Be wretched. In other words, recognize the wretched state of your life. Admit how badly you've messed up your own life and how much pain you've caused others. Humble yourself before the Lord and He will exalt you. Are you tired? Are you tired of searching and coming up empty every time? Are you tired of the loneliness of trying to live life on your own? Are you tired of trying to prove to everyone, especially yourself, that you don't need Jesus? I challenge you. I beg you to admit your own sin to God. Never mind about the sins of other people yet. Never mind what other people have said or done. This is about you before God. Admit your own sin. Admit your own need for His cleansing. Trust in His Son and you will receive His promised comfort. You will receive the gladness of heart that you have been seeking in this life. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Let's pray.